Good morning. I've been asked to consider the topic of Sabbath this Sunday. And in doing so, I started thinking like a three-year-old. My son William, of course, is now at the age where he has learned the most terrifying question a father ever heard, right? Why? 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 I can break down his questions into three groups. Some are simple, you know. Some are very silly, they don't make sense, and some go very deep, and it really gets you thinking. So for example, here's how our conversation might go. Daddy, what's Sabbath? Oh, well, it means to stop, to rest for a day. Why? Well, that's just what the word means. No, but why rest? Because we need rest sometimes. And you know what he would say? I'm not tired. Yes, but if we don't sleep, or if we don't rest, we could get sick. Why? Because our bodies are not designed to go constantly like a machine. Why? Because that's not how God made us. He didn't want us to be robots. Why? Because there's more to life than working. God wants us to spend time with Him without worrying about getting other things done. Why? Because we're really good about using non-important things to distract us from the important things. Why? You see how this goes? If you've ever had a three-year-old anywhere in your vicinity, you know how that goes, right? So, what does that mean? It means sometimes a good answer just isn't good enough, right? And when we're thinking about the Sabbath and how it's talked about in the Bible, it occurs to me that the writers of the Bible, they sometimes had to answer questions to a bunch of three-year-olds. Sometimes one good answer leaves room for another one. Let's take a look at the Ten Commandments. First, actually, where they appear first in Exodus. And there's nothing on the screen. You're out of luck there. So if you've got a Bible with you, turn to chapter 20 of Exodus, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. So why Sabbath? Why do we rest? Because God rested on the seventh day. And honestly, when I was a kid, I mean, this is the version of the Ten Commandments we all grew up with, right? So we rested because God rested. Why does my son do what I do? Sometimes it's just because I tell you so, right? But we rested because God rested. He didn't need to rest, but he knew we did, so he set the example. Now, do you see how a three-year-old might look at that reason and be like, but why? So let's look at the passage that Sheila read from Deuteronomy, just the part about the Sabbath. So this is chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, wait a minute. Moses, that's not what you said earlier, right? The other nine, if you compare the Exodus and the Deuteronomy, very, very similar. In places, it's word for word. But here, about the Sabbath, there is a completely different rationale, a completely different reason. In Exodus, it's observe the Sabbath because when God created the world, he did it in 6 days, and then he rested. And then in Deuteronomy, it's like, Rest on the Sabbath day because you are not slaves in Egypt. So which is it? Right? Well, this is one of those wonderful, wonderful examples where the Bible will it will say, okay, do you rest because God rested or because we're no longer slaves? And the answer is yes. Yes. Some of you may know that, you know, Bible scholars will look at the Old Testament and they'll say, okay, well, this was probably written around this time, and this was probably written around this time, and the whole thing was probably put together and compiled and put in its order, you know, at a later time. And those editors would have realized that the Ten Commandments in Exodus and the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy did not say the same thing on this issue. And they could have just picked one, right, and made it the same in both places and avoided confusion, but they didn't, right? They kept both reasons, and it's because both reasons are important. So this morning, we're going to unpack three applications for these two passages, so you can kind of keep track, right? One, two, three, and then after the third one, there's an epilogue, okay? So you can kind of keep track of where we're at. So application number one. Do not treat yourself like a slave. The Israelites, God's people, they spent 400 years in Egypt as slaves. Generation after generation, working every day, no rest, no choice. That's a hard rut to get out of. So when they get out into the desert, into the wilderness, and God's taking to them the promised land, God has to break them of the habit of thinking that they were slaves, right? So what does he do? In Exodus 16, they're complaining and they're whining, and he says, look, okay. We'll give you bread from heaven, and you're going to pick it up 6 days, and on the seventh day, you pick up twice as much, and then on the seventh day, you rest, right? They had a hard time figuring that out at first. But why did God do that? He was training them to rest. And he was training them to trust in him, right? To trust in him to provide for them and not to rely on their own ability to go out and collect the food every day. He's like, no, one day you trust that there was enough. I will provide for you. And they lived like that for 40 years to train them to think in that way. And by the way, the word Sabbath is first used in that story in Exodus 16. It doesn't even show up in Genesis. It shows up when God started the manna from heaven story. So Sabbath is God's idea. And the whole idea was to get us as God's people to rely on God rather than ourselves or our human masters, right? So bring that home to us. What does that say to us, right? Well, we live in a culture where we are supposed to value self-reliance, right? We think if we can just have enough money, we can buy whatever we need, and we'll be happy. Buy our own house, buy our own car, buy our own lawnmower, buy our own whatever, right? Have all of the insurances and everything, and then you'll be happy. And of course, we know that that doesn't work, but it kind of sneaks into the atmosphere, right? In our culture, I mean, we don't take a lot of time off. We stay at work late. We come in early. We work on the weekends. We take overtime when we can. A full schedule is like a prestigious mark of success somehow, right? And sometimes if we don't get enough hours, we'll pick up a second or a third job or whatever it takes so that we can feel like we're working enough. Many of you know that my sister Janelle is living in France, studying in France. And in France, 35 hours a week is considered full-time. Full-time. And it is very rare for people to work more than that, right? It's a different culture, right? And when I was in Peru a little bit during college. I lived with a host family. And my host dad, you know, he would get up and he would have breakfast with us and then he would go off to work. And he would come home around noon and we would have lunch and then he would go take a nap. And he would go back to work, you know, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We wouldn't think of doing that in our culture, right? You know, I get an 18-minute lunch at work, if that tells you anything, right? So in our culture, we tend to prioritize productivity. And I am not here advocating for laziness. You know, there are 6 days in which we do our work, right? Don't hear what I'm not saying. But the point is, at what point is it not worth it anymore? How much money do you need to make to make yourself happy, to be able to rest? God established the seventh day, right? To remind us that work is not everything. Everything has to start with trust in God. We have work to do. We have work to do. We can't not do it. But we are not slaves to that work. There's a whole other direction you could go with that on salvation. We're not going to go there this time. So, do not treat yourself like a slave. Second point, do not treat other people like slaves. Now, this law, both in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, it spends a lot of time specifying that it's not only you, but your servants, your animals, the foreigners living in your cities. They should rest also. And here God is saying, treat the people over whom you have power as God is treating you. Honor God by showing kindness to them. Now, this is a little bit harder to connect with us unless we're in a position of power. And not everyone is in a position of power. But think about it like this. Have you ever had a boss, an employer, who used shame tactics to get people to stay over? You know, just this once. We're really busy right now. It would be really convenient if you would, you know, reschedule your doctor's appointment or your vacation or whatever that you've got coming up. Or even, well, we're really busy. We're looking for some volunteers to work this Saturday or for this day off. Or, you know, you're going to be there, right? Right? We need to resist to giving into those kinds of pressures because we know that proper rest is important. But we need to remember that if we are ever in the position to be able to say to someone working with us, you know, this project, it's important. It's not that important. Let's call it a day. If you can say that to someone, you are honoring God by enabling them to rest, right? And again, there's farther we could go here. This takes us into the direction of social justice. As citizens in this country, we have a voice, and it is imperative that we be watching out for the people who are weak and protect them from anyone who would take advantage of them. So there's a direction you can go with that, but just for us to remember, don't treat other people like slaves. Treat them as God has treated us. If we can remember that, things will go well, right? Now, third, let's look for rest in the right places. Now, oftentimes when we hear sermons about the Sabbath, or if you read a devotional about Jesus performing a miracle on the Sabbath, who often makes an appearance, right? The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the people who are in charge of enforcing the law, right? They show up and they say, "How dare you do this?" And the gospel writers are quick to point out the hypocrisy, right? The religious elites in the Bible have taken the law that was written to remind people of their freedom, and they've turned it into a list of do's and don'ts. Stuff that you have to do in order to be righteous. And these people, they would go to their beds, and they would lay down, and they would rest easy. They think, I have dotted all the I's. I have crossed all the T's. I have done all that is required of me. Therefore, you know, I am in good standing with God, right? And Jesus came along, and he shook up the apple cart a little bit, and he said, no, the kingdom of God is bigger than a list of do's and don'ts. Let's look at one of these passages. Again, if you have your Bible, this is Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 10. Luke 13, Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "Look, there are 6 days. There are 6 days to come and do your work, but not the Sabbath day. Come on a different day to be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath." And the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And he said these things, and all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him. The Pharisees couldn't see past their legalism, right? They were missing the point. They'd made themselves slaves to the law. And that's why elsewhere Jesus says, the Sabbath is made for us. We're not a slave to the Sabbath. Everyone should have a hymnal nearby you, or maybe a Bible, something about this size. Pick one up. And I'm going to invite you all to stand. We're not going to sing, all right? I promise. Okay, we're going to stand up, get a hymnal or a Bible or something. Going to do a little experiment, okay? Stand if you're able. And kind of roll your shoulders back a little bit because otherwise you'll get tight, right? All right, now we're going to take this Bible. This probably weighs 2-3 pounds. A pound, maybe. Okay. Hold it out in front of you. Okay? Now, is there anything in your life that has you feeling bent over? Like you can't even look up because it's so heavy. Take a minute now and think about what stresses you out the most. What do you worry about? What burden do you carry? Think about that now. I can hear your heart rates going faster already, right? Okay, think about that now. Is it a financial concern? Is it a stress with work? Is it a relationship that isn't healthy? Is it looking out at the world around us and seeing that there's so much conflict and you don't have any way of doing anything about it? It's starting to get kind of heavy, isn't it? Now, if you take nothing else away from the service today, know this: in Jesus, we are free from bondage to sin, to Satan. We are not slaves any longer. We are not slaves to productivity. We are not slaves to power. We are not slaves to prestige. We are children of God and the bride of Christ. Lay down your burden and follow him. Oh, doesn't that feel good? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. See, some of us are carrying a burden like that out, and it's just kind of on our shoulders. And we forget it's there. Now the epilogue. Do you remember the story of creation? I guess you can sit down. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let dry land appear, and let plants grow." And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, and a lesser light to rule the night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, and let us make human in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over the earth, and over everything that creeps on the earth. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished the work he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all the work he had done in creation. And if you're paying attention, I skipped a few things. But did you notice what it doesn't say? It does not say, and there was evening and there was morning the seventh day. Why? You had a perfectly good pattern going on. Why not finish it? Could it be that the seventh day has no beginning and no end? Because every day is supposed to be the seventh day. Every day is a day that God has blessed and made holy. We as humans have been placed on this earth to glorify our good Creator. We are called to live as Sabbath creatures, not seeking our own glory or our own power or our own security, but glorifying God for his goodness, not trusting in anything that we can do for ourselves, but clinging to what he has done for us. Working, yes, working diligently in the name of Jesus, but resting in the power of his love. Amen. Amen. Amen.